What up, bitches? We're about to go there, so buckle the fuck up. By the way, that's the last time you'll hear bleeps. You've been warned.
Many of us were raised by more traditional parents, where we were to respect our elders, eat what was on our plate, and we expected a whooping when we misbehaved. Then we grew into adults and witnessed a totally different type of child, the one kicking the back of our seat on the airplane, or throwing a public fit with no parental intervention, the kid who receives a participation trophy for just picking their nose in the corner, or acting a fool and being praised as perfect. We've also seen this completely different parent than our own, the one who seems passive, if not permissive, the mom or dad who seems to be BFFs with the Hellraiser, as opposed to the guardian or authority figure. And so we've been told they're gentle parents. What is this new term? Is it a new everything-goes style of child rearing? Or are there misconceptions about what we've come to know as gentle parenting? Spare the rod and use your words. We're about to get into the chaotic world of parenting. I'm your daddy, Matt, and this is the Going There Podcast. 24-karat gold, Jesus fame, help me. 24-karat gold, Jesus fame, help me. It's the sign of the times, it's the end of days. I was waiting on you, you were waiting on me.
Ladies and gentlemen, keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times, because we're going there. Taboo topics are back on the table.
Well, I hope you're ready to come out of timeout, because it is time to talk about parenting. Parenting styles more than anything, because most of us here on the panel, we all grew up like 70s, 80s kids. The term gentle parenting only existed in maybe in like a commune somewhere off in the middle of nowhere with a bunch of hippy dippy people wearing tie dye and going like, deodorant is bad, man. So I really want to talk about it today. But before we get into the discussion, let's introduce our panel of parents and people who work with children. I'm the only one who has no kids in my life, and that is the key to happiness. So starting on the end, Dr. Y herself, back for another episode.
Hi, I am Dr. Jen Yensel. I am the owner of the Cole Center, a private practice, and I am a parent of four children.
One of them who's in the studio here today, and she's crying in the corner because of all the horrible things her mom keeps saying about her. Brand new to the show for this episode is our good friend who actually helped do some casting earlier this season. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name is Dave Ramnarine. I'm a parent of one. He's a grown man now. Grandfather of four and a longtime coach. So I've seen plenty of kids and dealt with plenty of kids.
Man, I didn't know you had four grandkids.
Yep. Four boys.
You and Nick Cannon are going to be at each other's throats for that competition.
I should have worn my bonnet.
Yeah. Herschel Walker's out there jealous of you somewhere.
Oh, Lord.
Returning from the Christmas episode is my favorite Jew.
Thank you. My name is Erin Arroyo. I'm a government contractor and a mother of one very spirited four-year-old.
And my favorite spirited four-year-old who never brings me baked goods, even though she promises them in vain, returning again for the 500th time is Aunt Rach.
Your favorite spirited 44-year-old.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Put it that way.
44-year-old, yeah.
My name is Rachel Adela. Thank you for having me back. I am a preschool teacher and an aunt to many, mom to none. So I have kids in my orbit, but none who call me mom.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's as close as being a parent I would want to be, but that's just me. So this is probably the topic where I have the least amount of opinion other than just my own personal experience. And so I'm going to let you guys do a lot of the conversation, but I'll jump in and throw my opinion in there anyway, just to be an ass and to make this more entertaining. Let's start, before we get into it, with how were you guys raised? I'm assuming, being 70s, 80s kids, our parents, so I can tell you, like, we weren't so authoritative where it was like children should be seen and not heard, right? That was like their generation before that. We still talked about feelings and stuff in my family, but it was still like, you're going to get your ass whooped if you step out of line, and sometimes for not doing much. And I got hit with everything in the house that you could think of, hangers and belts and shoes and spatulas and books and yeah. How about you guys? How were you raised?
Well, Matt, I was raised with a lot of trauma. That's why I'm a therapist.
I know how you were raised. We're kind of part of the same family, so you had the what's the matter you kind of parenting, right?
We did. My mom, just whatever, just, you know, come back by tomorrow. My dad was, I could do anything. I could, like, you know, spit in his face and he'd be like, God, I love you. You're so pretty. So I had a big difference of sure. parenting. But I think seeing every gender was treated very differently by every person in my family as well. It was very, very strange. So I wouldn't say I hate to use what I was called as parented.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Loose supervision.
Yeah.
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 That's not bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, you turned out successful, so that's a good thing. A
lot of therapy. Highly
lot
recommend.
Of therapy.
Therapy is great.
Dave, how about you?
Well, I grew up.
You grew up in Jamaica, right?
No. I grew up here. I was the only one born here out of all my siblings. Mm. So my mother's side is Jamaican. My father's side is Trinidadian. So I got fire on both sides. But, you know, I grew up to island parents and then trying to be an American. And, you know, you've got these ways, the old British colonies and how they raise their children. It was rough. I mean, now that I look back at it, at the time, I didn't think anything of it. It was just what it was.
It was all you knew.
It was all I knew.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't get
any. Did you get your ass whooped?
Well, yeah, you got your ass whooped if you did something that deserved to get your ass whooped. Now, my father was a different situation. I mean, I guess he was the type that, you know, he would tell you to do something, but then he wouldn't tell you how to do it. Right? He had no idea. And the next thing you know, you're getting your ass whooped. You're like, wait a minute here. You know, I have no clue what's going on. But you learn to adapt, and I understand now as I'm older, I understand why he was the way he was, and we'll get into that later on. But yes, we did get spankings. We did get whoopings. You got whooped with hangers. I got whooped with machetes.
Jesus Christ.
And I can show you how to do that after the show.
There's a kink for everything. Aaron, yeah. How about you?
I didn't get whooped. I could probably count on one hand the number of times I was even spanked. My parents were pretty supportive, but we also didn't talk a whole lot about feelings. Like, a lot of stuff kind of got shoved down. Mm-hmm. And I'm dealing with it as an adult. So that's fun.
Pretty loving childhood, but not like overly emotionally connected.
Yeah, I know my dad's going to listen to this. My parents were very
loving.
Thanks
for listening, Dad.
They were very loving towards us. But we didn't talk about emotions around like complicated things, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense. And I think that's a lot of families.
Yeah.
Especially in that era, because mental health was not a thing.
Well, I don't think they had the tools to
no,
do that.
No.
So, I mean, you know, if you wanted parenting help, it was what, like, Dr. Spock, and like, that's about it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
They did their best.
That's good.
I'm still very close with them, so that I think that says a lot.
Yeah. You talked about them a little bit in the last episode you were on. It sounded like you had a pretty happy childhood.
I did.
Pretty low conflict. But I'll say, I think some conflict is good. I was joking around with somebody the other day. I was like, a little bit of trauma is good. But that's just...
Oh, I didn't say there was no conflict.
No.
There
I
were,
realize
like,
that.
Screaming matches.
Yeah.
You
but
know?
That is so... That's any relationship.
That too.
Unless you are indifferent. The worst you can be is indifferent.
Yeah.
Like, screaming means I love you sometimes. Yeah. Aunt Rach...
I love that you keep saying it.
I give nicknames on the show and they stick.
I dig it. I had a pretty similar childhood to yours, it sounds like. Low conflict. You know, like, I didn't have any stay-at-home parents, which was interesting at the time because a lot of the kids in my grade had stay-at-home moms, and I didn't. I had a mom who worked 8 to 5. And I had a dad who worked a job that had a swing shift schedule. So sometimes he was the one driving the carpool or chaperoning the field trips. So when you brought up gender roles, that was an interesting thing too. I feel like we're going to get into a lot of stuff here tonight.
Absolutely.
But very similar to you, I didn't. There was not a whole lot of. It's not like they sheltered us from grief or loss or trauma or anything. But we didn't really get into it much further than the surface level. Mm-hmm. And learning that as an adult, I'm only learning some lessons now. Like I realized that I learned how to argue from my parents and from my nuclear family situation. We had mom, dad, me, sister, and I'm the oldest daughter of two oldest child parents. And if you believe anything about birth order, there's a lot to it. There's sure. a lot to it. I don't know. I mean, I look back at my childhood and I have nothing but fond memories, but I know that there is some stuff under the surface that I could probably use some work.
Well, thank you everybody for sharing that. What I want to get into is specifically gentle parenting. And we're going to talk about gentle parenting as we do any topic of unpacking what it is, pros, cons, good, bad, the ugly. As I often say on the show, I don't deal in absolutes. I don't know that I buy into one kind of thing. But, you know, as far as authoritative on one end, the other side of the spectrum seems to be the gentle parenting. There's an article by the Cleveland Clinic, and they basically said, the goal of gentle parenting is to raise confident, independent, and happy children through empathy, respect, and understanding, and set healthy boundaries. And the style focuses largely on age-appropriate development. So it doesn't mean it's a one-size-fits-all for every age. And when we think about the traditional parenting styles, the traditional parenting styles are punishment and reward. And when you think about the punishment and reward, man, the first thing I think is, well, that's freaking religion right there. It's like there's a heaven, there's a hell. Which one do you want? So, you know, I see flaws actually in all of it. But what I want to start talking about is Erin has shared with us before that she is practicing some form of gentle parenting.
I do my best.
And so do you agree with the definition that, you know, I just read?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I mean, I've also heard it referred to as respectful parenting.
Sure.
Because gentle parenting can kind of lead people to think that it's like really permissive and that there are no boundaries or anything like that. And there most certainly are. So yeah, I think that, like you said, it's kind of a fit it to your child.
Right.
Because not every child's the same and not every child is going to respond to everything the same. So we do a form of it, yes.
What made you want to try this style of parenting as opposed to just, I'm going to do what my parents did because why change what worked?
I'm going to be really honest and say Instagram, because when you're a new parent and you're on like zero sleep, you're very easily influenced by things you see online. Mm-hmm. But no, there are some accounts on social media that I really admired how they parent. And I was like, I could see that. And it's
on Instagram. That means it must be real.
It's 100% right. It's on
the
internet. It's on social media.
I had a TikTok baby.
Exactly. Right. no, but it's just, you know, I think every generation of parent wants to leave their children or child or whatever with slightly less trauma than they had. So just do a little bit better than your parents did. And so I kind of felt like we have more knowledge now about development and the psychology behind all of it. So why not put the science basically into practice?
Yeah. And knowing as little as I do, I would probably have approached it the same way. I don't know that I would have gotten my advice from Instagram.
Listen, I had zero sleep and a crying baby.
I got
you. This is what happens.
Well, yeah. And back in the day, it would have been like, oh, I need to call a cab and go to the library and rent a book.
Right.
So I get that. Where do your guys' thoughts on what you know to be gentle parenting? Candid. Please, candid.
Well, I want to ask this question. Is gentle parenting, I'm not against it, because everything you said, I believe. I believe you want to leave your kids better off and give them a better life than you had.
That's what my mom was saying as she was whooping my ass.
She had a purpose. I mean, you do the best that you know how to do at the time.
Yeah.
And what I learned is that I had to later on in life, as my son got older in his 20s, I had to apologize to him. I sat him down one day and says, hey, man, I'm sorry. I did the best that I knew how to do at that time. I'm not saying it was good. It wasn't good in certain instances.
Yeah.
And I was too hard. And I want you to know that I'm sorry and that, hey, you're getting ready to have kids. It's your job to do better than I did and take the things that you liked from what I gave you, because he will, to this day, if he was here now, he would say, thank you. You know, he came back later on and says, thank you for doing the things you did. It was rough. But now I see him with his kids, and who do I see? Me. And I'm going to tell you, as a grandparent, that tears me up. It tears me up. And I'm the one, as much as you think I'm against this gentle parenting, I'm the one like, hey, Brandon, you're too rough. You're going overboard.
Yeah.
But then they were here this past weekend. Then when I see them and I see some of the things that they do and that they're allowed to do, I don't want to say infuriates me. It gives me pause to say, hey, someone needs to step in here and show the kids what my son's not showing them.
And be the adult in the room.
And because they're kind of unchecked.
Yeah.
And that's my fear. That's my only fear with gentle parenting. I have no issue with talking to kids respectfully. Each kid is different. I coach thousands of kids. And you have to reach them in a different way. You have to find a different way. That's where the challenge comes in. You could sit there like some of our parents who'd had trauma. They had trauma and they were dealing with their own crap that they had no idea how to deal with. And then they've got you. And then now you are now the person that they're going to take it out on.
Yeah,
and it's
absolutely
not because they didn't love you or they didn't care. Right. They didn't know any other way.
Yeah. They didn't know how to deal with their own. And so they perpetuate it by putting it on you. And they're still like, but you don't know how bad I had it. And it's usually,
and it's true,
a similar, it's like, okay, it's a little bit like you've distilled it a little bit, mm-hmm. but it's still kind of the same method.
Well, and I think sometimes you really don't realize the level of trauma that you have until you have a kid. And then you're like, oh, this is triggering all of this shit in me. Because again, like I said, I try to do the gentle parenting thing. Like my son is very spirited. He's also neurodivergent, so that, you know, factors in. But I will lose my shit. Yeah. Like, I will snap and, like, yell. And then I will have to regulate myself and say, okay, that he's four. He doesn't know. But he got one of my triggers. And I'm an almost 40-year-old woman, so I'm still learning how to deal with this stuff. And again, I didn't realize I was dealing with it until I had a kid.
My son does the same thing. I'll hear him on the phone talking to his 11th month old. I was like, Brandon, do you realize this boy just came out? He doesn't know what you're talking.
He's new.
He knows what he's talking. He knows. He's smart. I says, Brandon, come on, man. I says, this other kid's 3 years old. This one's five. This one's six. What do you think they know? I mean, they're very smart kids. They know a lot. Okay. But some of the stuff you're expecting them to know, man, you can't be that way. And that's where I'm at.
I think the best thing that I pulled out of that Cleveland Clinic definition is the term age appropriate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I cannot say that enough. And I have nowhere near the expertise of a therapist, but I'm going to do a callback to a previous episode about kids being resilient. And they are. They bounce back, whatever. But I don't – kids have the same – emotions that adults do. They feel things on a big scale. They are frustrated. They are happy. They are sad. They are angry. They do not have the coping mechanisms or the capacity to understand where these feelings are coming from. And so
a drunk adult and a young child are very similar.
Very, very similar.
Very similar.
You guys should come hang out in my classroom sometime. It's hilarious. No.
But at the same time, kids use, these younger kids use more of their brain and more of their imagination, creativity than we use at this point. We lose all of that.
And us, if we are able to remember that, hey, they're dealing with the same stuff, but they're not little adults. They're not little adults. They are humans who are learning how to be human.
They're still trying to figure out what human.
I have to remind myself of that all the time.
They're still trying to figure out what being human even means. The difference between, and I can actually speak to this from a professional level. So a lot of what we do in our business here, outside of the podcast, is we do instructional design and adult learning, and what they call IO psychology, which I'm sure you're familiar with, but totally different kind of psychology. It's like workplace psychology. And how children learn is they are a sponge. They don't ask, why am I learning this? They just are curious. As adults, we have defined so many things, and whether our reality is real or not, you know, the earth is flat, whatever it might be, we've defined what those parameters are. And so we ask, why the hell do I need to know this? Children are not adults in the way, especially that they learn behaviors and in the way that they learn skills. Totally different. They become these adults, and the adult that they become is largely based on how they were parented, or at least how they were raised and taught and guided. You looked like you had a very strong opinion to share a minute ago.
I have lots of strong opinions about parenting. I mean, this is my jam. This is what I'm a, you know, expert in. Yeah. We use air quotes, though. I'm still not feeling
that. We're all
that.
Experts in something today.
Right. I have lots of thoughts. I don't even know where to begin. I think you said it, like, what are your thoughts on gentle parenting versus other styles? And I'm like, I don't like the term gentle parenting. I think it's evidence-based parenting. I mean, I'm not sure why we call it something. This is science-based parenting. It's what we know. Like,
sure.
So, you know, when we were growing up, you just jumped into the trunk and you'd roll around, right? There was no evidence that you should be locked up in like a 12-point harness, right? But now that we know, we do it differently.
Yeah.
Right. So there's research now on parenting and outcomes and children's brains and attachment and how do we interact with them and what are those outcomes are. We know that. And so I think gentle parenting is like a pretty little term to put on that. But I think it's just using what we know from the
research. I don't know who coined the term.
I don't know either.
But what I'll say is it feels like it was coined by the other side as kind of these kids are being babied. They're so gentle, kind of like, the ACA was Obamacare. They were doing man on the street, and people are like, no, I don't want that Obamacare. I got ACA. It's like, that's the same thing.
It's
gentle
like you
parenting.
Said,
there's lots of different
like
terms
said,
for it.
I'm sorry. But it's like you said, Aaron, you made the word you used, you said respectful parenting, because gentle sounds like it's permissive parenting.
Right.
And that's that
so,
hits it huge.
So it's
exactly.
not that it's not that
permissive.
Parent. Who allows their kid to kick your chair on the airplane and doesn't say anything to them.
Right.
So, or that's in.
That's not parenting.
That's
okay.
That's not parenting.
No.
So from Oprah Daily, there's a potential for parents to be too permissive and not set appropriate boundaries and expectations for behavior. Additional potential problems include indulging a child's emotions and behavior without guiding and teaching. So what they were saying is it's not perfect for everybody, and from the reliable sources that I've looked into.
Oprah?
Yeah, Oprah. Well, that's my mom.
Oh,
and
Dr.
so, I mean, how do you think I got this show? It's me, Dr. Oz, and Dr. Phil are going to do the next show. How come that you want to have a gay child?
Someone please
that's
do
a pretty
the,
good doctor.
And cut in like the.
Basically, what they're saying is the typical failures were not because it doesn't work. It's because the parents don't want to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
Gentle parenting, as we have come to know it, is way more work than the old style of parenting, which was stop crying, asshole, or I'm not going to tell you how to do that. You figure it out on your own. The parents give up right away. The parents, instead of, it's like, I'm telling my kid not to do this and they keep doing it. Screw it. I'm just, then go and do it. So it's not supposed to be overly permissive. That's not what it is. But I think the failure oftentimes, and of course you're going to have kids who have other behavioral issues, but the failure seems to be more commonly on the side of the parents.
And that doesn't, it should not give the term gentle parenting, which mindful parenting, connected parenting, sure, attachment-based parenting, you can like call it whatever you want to call it. I prefer evidence-based. So it sounds like we're not just like hanging out with our smudge stick, you know, like.
Yeah.
So
I'm gonna be their friend, not their
parent.
That's
what I was gonna ask. Is it being their friend?
No.
It's
I think
not
you
that.
Have a relationship, okay, right? I think the beauty of my kids are older is you get.
Do you consider your mom your friend?
Yeah.
You fucked up.
Well, but see, I'm an adult and I consider my mom my friend at this point.
Caveats to that, though. Yeah. Right?
I'm joking.
You know what I mean?
Her daughter, so who's in the studio, is almost an adult, basically right. An adult.
As an adult, I am friends with my mom.
That's exactly it. Like, be their parent now so that you can be their friend later.
Right. You transition from being little to, you know, to having an adult relationship.
Exactly.
And that's.
An adult relationship with respect and boundaries.
So that we're not talking in the hypothetical, what does gentle parenting, as we've come to know, whatever name we give it, what does it actually look like? What are the differences from how we were raised?
I think it's being intentional.
Yeah.
Right? And so, like, I think...
not reactionary, but...
Thinking about, like, what is the... I think about going to the grocery store. It's always such a delight. I remember going to the grocery store with... 4 kids under 6. But you think, like, what is my intention? My intention is to get groceries and to whatever. And I think gentle parenting is explaining to the kids, this is my expectations. We're getting groceries. We're not getting candy. We are doing this. We're not doing that. And being willing, the intention is, this is my goal. And if you sabotage, if you do this, we're going to leave. And parents have to be willing to leave that damn cart or not to engage in, can I have this? Can I have this? No. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be, and I think being intentional is just everything that you do, knowing what your boundary is, knowing how you're going to handle it. And if you're really stressed out, it doesn't work. But I think it's knowing, what do I want to get out of this experience?
And so it's not the removal of consequences, but it's more the removal of, like, this idea that you're going to mess up and I'm going to punish you. Is that accurate?
Sure. And I think being prepared. I think the grocery store example, I am prepared to leave a grocery cart if you act a fool. And I am not going to argue with you. I am not going to deal with you acting a fool. We're going to get up and go. We're not going to have groceries. And I'm not going to nag. It's just natural consequences.
Right.
I think gentle parenting is a lot.
Right.
But a lot of natural consequences.
We would have starved and died. Yeah. Matt, then we just won't eat. Right. And I'd be like, screw you, Mom.
Oh, I wouldn't have said that, though.
I mean, natural consequences, what you just said, it's a huge part of my parenting. And I heard someone say, I don't even remember where it was, you don't have to be a gentle person to be a gentle parent. Like, if my son is messing around because, again, he's 4 and he jumps off of furniture, he does things he's not supposed to do, and I'm like, hey, if you do that, you're going to hurt yourself. Don't do that again. And he does it again and he hurts himself. And
do.
I'm right.
But that
I'm
is like, human nature.
But I'm like, okay, that is a natural consequence of your actions. I'm still going to comfort you because I'm sure that hurt and it was scary, but we don't do that again because.
In adult learning, we call that the ABC model, right? You got the antecedent, the behavior, and then the consequence.
Right.
But if you tell somebody, don't touch the stove, it's going to be hot. Of course, they're like, okay. Oh, yeah. And then they touch it because they need to still learn what the boundaries really are. And are you making this up? Am I really going to get in trouble or is this really going to hurt me if I do this?
Right. But in this example, are you going to remove the stove?
No, you let the kid get burned.
Or you remove the child from the
situation. In this example about the grocery store, now I didn't get done what I needed to get done as a parent because I'm letting this child dictate what goes on here. Someone's got to be in control. Someone's got to be in charge.
You are in control, though.
Not if I'm letting the kid tell me, hey, we're gonna leave here and I'm going to leave my groceries here. I got to eat.
Here's my distinction. Here's my distinction.
It's called
one
hungry
of the things,
parenting.
Right.
And I could do that.
We're not looking to set up some Hunger Games style nonsense here. Like,
You never came to dinner at my family's house. It was 7 people in a room, an 8-piece pizza, and whoever ate the fastest got the last piece. And that was me. And that's why people think I went to prison because I eat my food so goddamn fast. I'm like.
There were 50 plus people at my family's Thanksgiving dinner. I have seen the.
Yeah.
I got you. But I think the big distinction is one of the things that we talk about And again, I give the full disclosure that I'm not an actual biological parent. I have not birthed the child.
You don't have to keep saying that. Because,
but as a teacher, you are parenting.
Correct. I am very doing, much, it takes a village, people. And
you're taking
very much
usually the worst part of the kid, other than like putting them to bed and feeding them.
And for some, I mean, for some families, and this is not a ding on anybody, but for some of them, I spend more time with their kids than they do.
You're probably more of mom than some of them.
I don't mean more of mom, but like I spend more waking hours with their children than they do. And
absolutely.
That's just a fact.
Yeah.
That's just how it works. One of the things that we talk about in classroom management, and one of the things that I have applied in being Aunt Rach, you never give a kid a choice like, oh, we're going to leave the grocery cart. You never give a kid a choice that you are not prepared to follow through on.
Absolutely.
And so if I – like I've heard parents, you know, I don't want to say in my – it wasn't necessarily in my school, but I have known parents to say, if you don't do X, Y, Z, I'm throwing that toy away. Are you? Are you prepared? Because that kid's not going to say, oh, I'm done.
Yep. Right.
And I think that's what Dave was getting at is, as a parent, if you tee up the wrong thing.
That's exactly
it. You are feeling the consequences probably more than the child.
Because then, and it's got a ripple effect. Because then if you don't follow through,
yes,
then that kid's like.
They know that boundary doesn't exist.
You can absolutely find
yourself. I think you only have to do the grocery cart. I think you've only had to do the grocery cart thing once. But, because you got crazy eyes and you're leaving the cart and you don't say a thing to them and then they're like, oh, shit.
Right.
And so it's not, you should only have to do it once because the kids aren't going to do that again. That shouldn't be, if this is becoming a weekly thing, then we have other things.
Okay,
that, you know what I mean?
Maybe it was just a weird example because in that example that you use, this is, I feel like, what's his name with the trolley? Like, this is like a philosophical thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know who I'm talking about? And this
no
is like the grocery cart
about.
Philosophy.
I know exactly what you're talking
about. What's his name? The trolley.
It was on The Good Place.
It was on the. It's been on a bunch of stuff. Kimmy Schmidt. Anyway, so the idea of the grocery cart is who gives a shit? Because the kid probably doesn't care anyway. Was it just a random example, or do you think that they felt some form of consequence of you being like, "We're gonna leave"? Why do they want to be there?
You remember this happening? How'd you feel?
I felt really bad. Because I snuck a bunch of food in there and I didn't get any of it.
Mission accomplished.
So she just said she felt really bad because she snuck a bunch of food in there and then she didn't get to eat the food. So your kids enjoyed the grocery store. I hated being dragged to the store. My mom's like, if you act up, we'll leave. We would have never gotten out of the car.
See, but gentle parenting over time.
So they
actually
respected you is what you're saying.
Oh. Yeah.
So you were the parent where they were more scared about getting a bad look or you being disappointed in them than they were getting whooped.
And I think that's the point of gentle parenting.
It's the long game.
It's absolutely. I think it, not the point, but I think the point of the grocery store thing is that if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. Right?
And you're ready to live with the consequences.
Yep.
And the consequences are going to affect the children more than you.
They're going to affect me because I'm like, God, that's so embarrassing. But if I'm not prepared to teach my children, I am not engaging in gentle parenting. I'm nagging and I'm resentful and I'm not teaching them anything. And I think that's the misconception that we get about this gentle parenting.
As I orbit my life away, I've seen the universe. It's my day today. It's not your fault that I cannot describe my love. Cause you don't have an ocean that's deep enough for what? La 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 la.
Okay, kiddos, it's time for some sing-alongs. Our musician spotlight is on Hand Plus Noise. They're a four-piece American blues folk rock band from Ohio, half comprised of a husband and wife duo who know all too much about parenting. Formed in 2020 and now hailed as the most surprising Tuesday afternoon performers in Cuyahoga Falls by that one guy at Jenks Building, Hand Plus Noise have played to every kind of person imaginable and have recently released their debut self-titled EP, available on all streaming platforms. They're currently working on a new album planned for an early 2024 release. For updates, you can visit their website at Hand Plus Noise, that's plus spelled out, handplusnoise.com. Or follow them on Facebook and Instagram at Hand Plus Noise.
As I orbit my life away, I've seen the universe. It's my day today, it's not your fault
that I cannot describe my love. Cause you don't have an ocean that
I think most people can get on board of a lot of what we talked about. But so let's talk about some of the stuff that I think creates some controversy. Aaron, are you a gentle enough parent who does not tell their child no?
Oh, he hears no all the time.
Okay. Because there are some who, like, I got yelled.
Gentle parenting.
I got yelled at a long time ago. So we had friends and their parents were big time hippies. And one time I was like, the youngest was a baby and he kept like smacking me. Not like a baby. He was probably like 3. And I was like, stop, no. And she was like, we don't say no here. And I'm like, where the hell am I? So that is not a gentle parenting style then.
No, I mean, so in that example,
stop,
like,
stop, that triggers me. Don't say that word.
No, I do try to avoid a big reaction because with kids, they want a big reaction, whether it's good or it's bad, they don't really care. Even if you say, ouch, that hurts. I'm horrible about this. My husband constantly has to, because again, my son has some sensory issues. So he'll like crash into you and he's a tank of a 4-year-old. So, you know, sometimes my immediate reaction is to say like, ouch. Then I have to come back and it's just like, please don't do that. I don't like that. If you want to touch me, you can do it this way. Especially like you're talking about.
Are
with,
you
like,
talking to your husband or your son?
Well,
that's a different
listen,
episode,
you can
Matt.
Gentle parent adults too. But no, I just mean like, it's not like, oh, don't do that. I don't like, that's not, it's not like that. It's like, no, I don't like that. If you keep doing that, I'm going to put you down. I'm not going to hold you if you keep hitting me.
So what do you do if your child is throwing a tantrum, like screaming, stomping around, where, you know, even the parents that you know, spanked usually started with words. And then when the words stopped working, now that word, you know, margin would get smaller and smaller over time because it's like, we've already been down this road. What do you do when the normal words have not worked?
I would never use a word when we're having a tantrum. I mean, when a child's having a tantrum, their brain and their body are out of whack. And so it's like negotiating with a terrorist. Like, but I think, I mean, outside of using a tranquilizer gun with them, understanding the science of it, of that a child who is having a tantrum, just like an adult who's like losing their shit, like is not at a place to negotiate, is not at a place to be reasonable. So I am not going to mirror that. I think that's one thing is for a parent is like, you're having a tantrum. Like, how do I protect and not mirror? Because a lot of parents get mad and yell at the kid for having a tantrum. Like, the kid doesn't know what they're doing. We have to learn from that. So take a break. Like, take literally, like, go in the other room if your child's safe. Like, let them have a tantrum.
What if they're, like, breaking shit?
Well, I don't recommend having breakables when you have small children.
No.
Okay. What if they're taking a crayon and writing on the walls, or what if they're doing something destructive
while they're having a tantrum?
Yes.
I guess I'm not afraid of the consequences. Like if they're drawing on the wall, like, will what are my priorities? Maybe stop fucking screaming, you know, and then we'll figure out the crayon. And so once we can get the kid calm, you can deal with the consequences of crayon on the wall. I mean, that is not, I can't try to control everything about this little person all at once. Again, you have to prioritize. What is my intention? What are the consequences I'm willing to do? And I don't, go ahead. You can scrub crayon all you want for the rest of the night. Like, it doesn't bother me at all.
So just like terrorists and supervillains. Escalation.
That ain't gonna work.
Escalation happens, right?
Yeah.
What happens when? Okay, so let's forget about this idea of this abstract term of gentle parenting. Scientifically, what does it say about spanking? Does it say absolutely never spank?
There's no good evidence that it is helpful. There's no. I have yet to see. I'm open to research. I'm open to beating people.
As adults, yeah, right.
Or children. I mean, like, it just hasn't, there has been no research on the cause and effect on what that does. Really, what it does is that it doesn't help them learn the lesson. So if you're having a tantrum and you're drawing on the wall and I smack you, well, now you're going to be afraid of me and I don't let you learn that lesson of don't be a fool and don't break the house. Now, you know what I mean? Like, I think... So gentle parenting, kind of without spanking, it interferes with those natural consequences.
So like normally I would say that's bullshit. But then the more I think about it, you know, in a vacuum, it's easy to say, I do agree because, again, to go back to religion and parenting were tied hand in hand, still are. It's the idea that, like, I'm not going to do this because I don't want to go to hell. So it's more like a technicality as opposed to learning why you should act the right way and behave as a good person without just the fear of being punished, I guess. So I kind of understand from that point, but kids aren't that smart.
Man, let me look.
Dave's had the smirk on his face. I can't wait till he says this.
Look at me. I am evidence that spanking works. He is evidence that spanking works. Let me tell you something. When I broke Terry Hopkins' glasses by mistake, I was just playing around in third grade and I broke his glasses. And my mother called my father over to whoop my ass. Believe me, it worked.
Message received.
Message received. And I never touched anyone else's glasses again. And I'm 51 years old. So there's evidence there.
But in the research, it's not there.
I mean, there was no research analyst there going like, oh, well, you know, but guess what?
Dave has never broken another pair of glasses since 1978.
The shit works. And my only rub with what I'm hearing is that I'm hearing that the children are in control. If you think I'm going to sit back and let you draw on my wall, are you out of your mind? That's not going to happen. The other thing was this. I got to go back to the shopping cart. I got to go back to
this. This is the Going There podcast.
I got to go back
to Everyone's like, wait, there's pushback on here?
Because yeah, I'm wondering... We said there's consequences. The young lady said, yeah, I felt bad because I didn't get to eat what I put in the cart. But did you go home and not eat? Those are the consequences. We didn't get groceries today. So sorry. We didn't get groceries today. Okay? We didn't get groceries.
Authoritative parenting style and podcasting style. Just like bumping the table.
So when we get home, no one's eating. You guys aren't going to eat. I'm going to eat. I got to go to work tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. I got so sent I'm to bed eat. Without dinner so
Since
many
Since you guys want to act a fool, guess what? When we go home, you got nothing. Go to bed. Those are consequences to me. As opposed to, oh, well, we just left some stuff there, and now we're still going to eat. Are those consequences? Or are the consequences, hey, you're going to bed hungry? Which one?
Thoughts?
To me, that doesn't sound like a consequence. That sounds like punishment.
How's
and there's a big difference between punishment and consequence.
It was your behavior, and I told you that, hey, if you
continue,
we're going to leave.
But is it age-appropriate behavior? Because you can't expect a small child to always behave perfectly.
Absolutely.
In public. And if you can, and they're that young, I want to know how traumatized they are that they feel like they can't speak
right.
up.
I want to, like, I mean, I think we've all heard the phrase punishment fits the crime, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's look at it instead. Let's look at the phrase choice equals consequence, okay? Yeah. And I don't know, maybe it's not quite, I don't think we should look at it as punishment. I think we should look at, like, you as the child made the choice to act a fool in the grocery store, so we left the cart right there and we marched ourselves out without whatever we were going to eat for the next 2-3 days, whatever. You as the parent made the choice to lay that out ahead of time, and this is the consequence that you have to live with. And choice equals consequence for every person in the equation, not just the kid, for also the adults in the room.
Yeah, but that's the mindset of, because this person messed up, I'm going to make all of you do push-ups.
That works in certain cases.
Sometimes it does. But like you said, you wouldn't set a boundary that you weren't comfortable enforcing. Yeah. So
yes,
if you didn't
absolutely.
Feel comfortable saying, hey, if you guys fuck up, we're going to leave,
yep.
then you would have said something else.
100%.
Aunt Rach and Mom Erin, what are your thoughts on spanking? Is it an absolute never?
Never.
I could count on less than one hand the number of times I got spanked. I think it maybe happened once in my childhood.
Well, you're a good kid.
But I want. Well, that's true. Again, oldest child of two oldest child parents. Hi.
Oldest child.
Hi, Mom. But give a shout out to my mom. Come on now.
Hi, great Aunt Rach.
Oh my gosh. But I think we said something before. Like Matt, I think you were the first to mention the word disappointment. I think that carries a special kind of trauma and ripple effect also, because you become a people pleaser. I don't want to disappoint people. And I was 30 years old before I learned that that was my trigger.
Yeah.
That the fear of disappointing people was the thing that was like, oh my God, I'm a good kid because I don't want, I don't want to disappoint somebody.
Is that different? It's a different consequence, and it creates a whole other batch of issues, right?
I never got hit, and I'm not saying, I mean, my God, they were not, it's not like they were emotionally or verbally abusive, never, but
according to Dave's friend Tamika, the lack of being spanked as a child turns into the want to be spanked as an adult as a kink.
I can't say there is no
scientific evidence behind it, but it may have been my favorite freaking part of that episode.
No, I just I think I don't know. I don't know. And I wouldn't necessarily call it.
So would you say in an extreme circumstance? Or I do not think
there is a reason to raise a hand to a child. Period.
Can I say this? We all agree?
And I am not saying that how you were raised was wrong. I'm just saying
Dave, if your answer is wrong, they're all going to take turns spanking you. Okay. But he pays good money for that shit on a Saturday night out in East Cleveland.
Brian, please don't listen to
that. Whole film crew for that. My question is this. Can we all agree that there are certain children that you don't have to spank? I have four grandsons, and I'm going to tell you something. They're all different.
That is 1,000% true.
There are some kids you can sit down and talk to and be like, oh, okay, boom, and that's it. But I got one that he's going to push the envelope, man, and he ain't going to budge until you do something. So I just feel that, and I've worked with thousands of kids through coaching, and I'm not spanking them. Don't put my hands on kids. That's the first thing you learn in coaching.
Shit, back in our day, you get spanked by the teacher, the coach, the
nun. Well, back in my, the nun. I grew up with that too, as far as I went to Catholic school from kindergarten to 12th grade.
And my dad got spankings. I've heard stories.
You got whipped by a sister, whatever, with the wood, you know.
Nail your hand with the ruler.
I mean, doesn't that kind of bring the corporal punishment back to religion?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But my thing is, and I'll finish by saying this, is that there are some kids that you coach a certain way. Some kids you can yell at. Other kids don't respond to that. You don't yell at them. You kind of just talk to them, pull them to the side, and you get at them another way. Another kid you do this way. So you can't always.
Dr. Y, is that an innate quality or is that a learned behavior? Is it nature or nurture?
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Okay. No, if you have different kids, you know, because
I do. I have one particular child who's very beatable, for sure. You know which sibling I'm talking about. I don't think
that's who I need to see.
Well, I think here's the thing. You said something about we don't have control. And I think with gentle parenting, with very firm boundaries, I have complete control. And I always felt like I have complete control over my kids. I have control over my reaction. And as soon as I go to smack them, which, I mean, there's been times where I'm like, I'm going to fucking strangle you.
Oh, trust me. I've wanted to.
Maybe even last week, whatever. But I think I am undermining my ability to outsmart this kid. And if I undermine my ability, I don't also allow kind of this to learn why. I mean, kids who are misbehaving, they're doing it for a reason.
Yeah.
And
behavior is communication.
It's communication. Now, I don't want it. I don't want them to draw on the wall either. But I think the message with the drawing on the wall versus having a tantrum, I've got to pick my battles and someone's offline. You know what I mean? Like if one of my wheels pops off of my car, I'm not going to try to adjust my mirror to be like, well, I can't really see behind me. No, you got to work and prioritize. And so I think being spanked, it doesn't necessarily mean it's always damaging to people. I just think that there's evidence that there are more effective ways. That's it. And so it doesn't, I mean, if people want to beat their, like, okay, like you can't leave a mark for 24 hours. Otherwise it's child abuse. But I mean, I guess, you know.
I was abused a lot as a kid.
So I guess, you know, like I didn't, just because something happened that wasn't evidence-based doesn't mean that there's trauma. It's just kind of like I never got in a car accident when I was rolling around the back seat, you know, in the trunk.
Yeah.
You know, but there's better ways to do it.
So let me ask this, because I think one of the biggest concerns was when the young Gen X and the older millennials started having kids. And I remember the person who put this term into my mind probably a decade ago, Dave, was like, there is a wussification of American kids. The idea that this gentle parenting, is this incorrectly tied to what we're calling gentle parenting, which is participation trophies? Everybody's a winner?
No association. Let's just cut that shit down.
So let's talk about that, because
also, I want to say that the older generations are the ones who gave us the participation trophies.
Yes.
I mean, that's definitely true. But that was the idea, was that we won't hit our kids and we tell them especially the far right starts to go, they're all snowflakes, you're all special. Because that is, in my opinion, that would be horrible parenting, to be like, you're going to go out in the world and everyone's going to love everything you have to say.
Yeah, I think we're lumping things together.
Yeah. So what would you call that other than bad parenting?
Weird.
Okay. Weird. Obviously, it's not just bad parenting, but it's not even like, it's so much easier to let the kid do whatever they want or make the kid feel that everything they touch is just gold.
Yeah, parenting's hard.
Parenting the right way, the way you guys are talking about,
it's fucking exhausting.
I feel like I'm super, super progressive.
I'll be rooting for you.
But I would still probably want to spank my kid when I've used every word and tool I have and I'm like, fuck it. Where's my producer? No, she's gone. When she gets back, I really want to ask her, because we talked about this several times. And as, you know, leftist as Lindsay is on so many things, I even feel like she said she would probably spank a kid. But it's because we've seen so many misbehaved kids. And those of us in society who don't have them see, oh, that's the gentle parenting. The kid who wants a participation trophy and a high five for, like, showing up.
Yeah.
I don't think those kids ask for a participation trophy. I think we as adults force that stuff on them, and they get the blame.
Right. We were like, ooh, something shiny. That's cool. Yeah.
You know, if my dog, when someone's like, take control of your dog, it's an animal. I'm mad at, you know, people get angry at the animal. It's like, no. I'm angry at the owner. When I see kids going around, like you said, like kicking chairs and acting like assholes, and mom's in the corner just like, doing this. That's not about the kid. It's the mom.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Producer, you're back. I had a question. If you were to have had kids, spanking or no?
That's a hard question, because you don't know until you're in that
moment.
Because
you told me. Yeah, she said yes. The co-producer said yes. She's into corporal punishment.
Were you thinking about beating him when he asked the question?
She beats me all the
time. You
know
what, you guys? I feel like I don't know where I first read it, but there's a line out there that says the only perfect parent is the one without kids.
Yeah.
Hi, perfect parent here? Hi.
And that's why my opinion is like nonsense in this conversation.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the myths that I've seen.
Right.
And I, just in this conversation, have realized there's a lot of misconceptions. But the one thing I've always known is maybe because I was such an asshole, and so were my brothers and sisters, that like, I cannot imagine being a parent, dealing with a kid like me, and not having some form of physical punishment on the line. But I'm also saying that in a vacuum. Sure. I don't have children.
I will say part of it is having, for me anyway, having a partner who is fully on board and like fully committed to parenting the same way, because I will fully admit that my husband is much more patient than I am. I have anxiety and it manifests as rage. And so sometimes I get really worked up and I'll have to tap out. And then he comes in so I can get my shit together, because a dysregulated parent cannot deal with a dysregulated child.
Right.
You just can't. But going back to what you were saying about kids misbehaving in public, like the things you were describing, yes, that is absolutely on the parents. But I also have to wonder how much of it is like what society thinks of as appropriate child behavior. Because I agree. Society, like, they expect children to be little adults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seen, not heard.
Right. It's just not that way.
Trying to shush a toddler when it's like, they're not being bad. They're just making noises. They don't know.
Right.
They haven't learned our societal norms yet. Okay.
Kids screaming on a plane.
Stop. I've seen you on a plane. I've seen you on a plane.
That's
that
what
is
I
such bullshit
you
right
can,
there.
You can blame. I never said I am the template here. I'm just saying I get it.
Right. Well, like,
shut that fucking kid up.
I want to use.
I will stop
off this plane and throw you off.
I want to use a plane as an example. So I flew, I recently moved back from being out of state. I flew with my then 14-month-old son from D.C. to Ohio.
And did you just get dirty looks from everybody sitting around you?
No, everyone was really kind.
I always give the mom a dirty
look. The way back, I was on a packed, fully packed plane. So I tapped the guy in front of me on the shoulder. I said, hey, I'm going to apologize in advance. I've got a small child here. He may kick you. I'm going to do my best. And I had the guy next to me. I was like, hey, sorry. And I plied him with snacks the whole time. And he was mostly fine. And people were understanding because I was making an effort to address any behaviors that came up.
And you're probably less anxious because you had a plan, which your kid probably picked up on as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Aunt Rach, what behaviors do you see on your side of the world with different parenting styles? You can probably tell what kind of parents they all are. And obviously, you're not going to name specific.
Oh, my gosh. I think one of my biggest things is I probably fall somewhere in the middle. I'm not full on gentle and I'm not full on authoritative, put the hammer down. I probably fall somewhere in the middle. I don't know because I'm not in that situation, but I think that's where I would be. The thing that I keep going back to what I said before about being the adult in the room. And when I hear a parent say, it's time to put your coat on, okay? No, you're giving that child a choice. You can say, it's time to put your coat on. Period. That's a full sentence. And that expresses to the child, it's time to put my coat on because we got to go somewhere. We're doing something. I don't get to say yes or no, I'm not going to, or I don't want to. Don't ask your child's permission. Be the adult in the room. And if you say, you know, like I said, you know, you better do X, Y, Z, or I'm going to throw this toy away, or I'm going to set a timer for 2 minutes, and then the ding goes off, and okay, another 2 minutes, but then that's really it. No, they're going to call your bluff every single time. And speaking as the teacher with 19 of them on my roster, take that and multiply it by 19. And they all come from very different households and very different backgrounds. And that's fine. That's what makes our classroom such a beautiful little family. And I really do love my little kiddos. I love them. But it makes it difficult because if you've got one kid who knows that they can push this much and just push this much further because it works at home, and then this kid who knows, Miss Rachel said to do X, Y, Z, so I'm going to do X, Y, Z because that's what I do. There's a big push-pull in there. So find the happy middle, please,
right,
on behalf of your children's teachers.
Now, boundaries are
important.
They're key. Like, if you throw that toy again, we're not going to play with that toy. Oh, you threw it. I see you're having trouble. Okay, we're going to put it up here until tomorrow. You can try again tomorrow.
And that's exactly it.
Right.
It's not like this is the end of the line forever. You're never playing this game again. It's, you know what? You had a tough day. We're going to try again. I said it today in my classroom today. I said, you know what? Today was tough. We'll try again tomorrow.
Dave, being someone who's coached kids in sports for years, and obviously kids in sports, you know, my dad coached. You also deal with all the family problems that are going at home, all these things that are not part of the job, but you end up taking on. But like, what are some of the effects of different parenting styles that you've seen just in a competitive nature and just in kind of like a work ethic?
It's what I've seen, and I'm glad I coach older kids now.
Yeah,
I've coached younger kids.
Yeah,
I've coached, you know, 4 or 5 year olds. I've coached, right now I'm on the high school level. So I coach them anywhere from 4 to 18. And what I'm seeing with my high school kids is that I don't want to say wussification. I just think that they're a lot softer and they can't deal with the issues that the world brings to them.
Like, give me an example.
You talked about the failure thing. You learn more by failing than winning.
Sure. I agree.
I agree. Absolutely.
So if you never allow these kids to have the consequences or punishment of failing, then they're never going to learn any lessons. Mm-hmm. So what I've seen, what I've learned in my years is that usually if there's an issue with the kid, first of all, you don't know what a kid's going through.
Right.
That's the first thing that you have to learn is that you have no idea what they've gone through before they even get to you.
Right.
For sure.
So you mentioned the word patience. You have to have a ton of patience. I've learned that patience helps and goes a long way. Don't assume, you know, and I'm quick to assume in a lot of, because of my background.
Right.
And then I catch myself like, oh shit, I should have asked such and such. But it's never been in a way where it's really got at me, but I noticed it now.
Sure.
I fix myself now.
Yeah.
And in coaching, that's one of the best things. When you can teach a kid how to play and they can now learn how to fix themselves, now you've got it.
Mm-hmm. So what's the difference between like a kid, let's say 10 years ago and now? How does the behavior show itself where you're saying that they don't seem to be open to this learning through consequence, through failure?
The big thing I see now is that kids want to be like this. There's no, the competition level.
So they'd rather be friends.
Oh, they all want to be friends.
Then like, I want to make friends. I want to make the team over you.
It's no more, I'm going to beat your ass. I'm getting that spot.
Right.
It's, I can't do that to Matt. Matt, why would I kick Matt in the head and stop him from I want him to be on the team too, coach. I say to the kid, do you realize you're fighting for a spot here? Or are you going to be sitting next to me eating Mike and Ike's on the bench?
That's a really
Which
good candy,
one do you
though.
Want?
A tough call.
So most of them pick, hey.
Is that the one that you tried to hide in the shopping cart? Toothpaste?
Toothpaste?
Oh, bubblegum. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
I could see that. Okay. So what are your thoughts on that? Do you think it's healthy to have a competitive nature where you're...
Yeah, I was thinking, one of my kids is so competitive in everything,
yeah.
But I can eat dinner faster than you. I think doing gentle parenting, like evidence-based parenting, your kids are getting resilience. And I think that there's a connection, there's this false connection that kids don't fail with gentle parenting. Kids fail all the time because of when we're doing evidence-based parenting. You fail, and I'm watching you fail because I am, you know, taking your stuff. I'm letting you go to school with your pajamas on because you weren't ready in time. So you're going to learn resilience because that sucks. You didn't get ready in time. So
so you would say a healthy evidence-based parent would not only allow their kids to fail, but build into them this idea that like the world is competition. It doesn't mean you have to be a cutthroat asshole.
Yeah.
But it's good to strive for the best.
I'd rather my kids be nice. I think athletics is different, right? I mean, I think.
What about the workforce? I want my friend to get the job too, but there's only one spot.
That's why I own a business, because I don't want to compete with anyone.
Okay.
And we can
I'm
all
asking
be
the
friends.
Wrong yeah. person questions here.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think there's a difference between competition and letting them have competition. But I think it takes confidence to want to compete.
Well, and that's
and
the thing.
That's
like
where we want to help
scientific
as parents.
Based, evidence-based
yeah.
parenting, whatever you want to
yeah.
call it. Is supposed to be based on building confidence,
yep.
but not false confidence, because
no.
that seems to be what happens. I would
that's
call that like
gentle parenting,
enabled parenting.
That's not parenting though.
Because that person is like, you're my world, you're my everything, you're my best friend. And I don't care what any girl says, you're the most handsome boy in the world.
I worry stuff like that gives what we're trying to do, like the evidence-based parenting, a bad name. And I think we need to—
So it's not part of gentle parenting.
I have never, I mean, as somebody, this is what I do for a living, I've never
no. Competition is good. It's good to be competitive.
Sure.
And some of us naturally are wired that way and
sure.
some aren't. But the world is not rooting for you. You have to go out into it and survive.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that you should be an asshole and you need to be cutthroat.
Yeah.
But you still have, it's survival. Because otherwise the trauma is going to happen in their adult life and they're not going to have the tools to be prepared to work through it.
Huge.
That's
I think grades
huge.
Are a big thing too. Like I think parents struggle really, like I want you to have A's and B's. Well, you've just lost them. Like if you don't let your kids learn and fail and, you know, get the grades that they want, or I would say you're allowed to have boundaries. Like my expectation is you do this, this, and this. But I want you to care more about grades than I do. And I think parents fight. I want you to be competitive. But they don't want to be competitive. That's where you lose them. I want you to get good grades, but I'm okay with B's. I think there's the disconnection of expectations and desires and identity that makes our kids kind of just fall short.
That makes a lot of sense. Like, you guys are selling me on it, not that it even really matters. So now when I see assholes running around and doing bad things and kids who should know better, one, I've always thought, well, that's bad parenting, but I don't now think it's gentle parenting. At least I know better. Now, I still kind of feel like a spanking should be like, you know, it's the death penalty. Only in extreme cases, but I was an extreme child. So if I wasn't spanked, I probably would have never learned some of those lessons. That's just my opinion.
I think too, there's probably, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
I think there's the elephant in the room of parenting during COVID.
Oh my God.
I mean, we could do a whole separate episode on this probably. But like, think about.
Or how they didn't parent during COVID.
Well, I mean, think about it. Like all of a sudden, teachers and babysitters became so much more valuable because parents realized what they were doing, you know? And what, you mean I got to homeschool my kid all of a sudden and work from home and still do the laundry list of being a functional adult, you know?
Yeah. I think it really reinforced how much parents need their village.
Exactly.
Because the village disappeared and you're like, what the fuck?
And when we talk about like, you know, like what, you know, wussification or kids being softer. I don't know if it's that. I mean, think about the last 2 years. My kids are 3 and 4 years old in my classroom, and they have never known a normal school year, okay? First it was at home, then it was with masks. So they don't, that's their normal, and that's fine. We're not going to get into the whole normal thing, but think of like parenting rules. Well, my kid, 5 years ago, let's say, I was a private nanny prior to becoming a classroom teacher. And I had parents, I was nannying for families who had very specific rules about the amount of screen time to the point where they would ask me to set timers. And that's fine. I respected that. That's what they wanted me to do. Fine. Fast forward to COVID times. You think, I don't know. I'm not in touch with those parents anymore, but do you think they're still adhering to those specific rules? I don't know.
No. Sorry.
You're just going to say unequivocally no.
I just know for me, my son was like a little over a year when mm-hmm. COVID started. Mm-hmm. So trying to work from home with a child, not that he did a ton of screen time at that age, but like, yeah, we'd turn on Magic School Bus. He loves Magic School Bus.
And even if it's just for the music, the stimulation
right,
in the background.
Exactly. And now he has a tablet and it's great. He's doing learning games.
But not just that. Let's think about, too, the interaction. I mean, COVID, so many people felt so isolated and it took such a hit on everybody's mental health. And then you've got these people who society's expecting to be little adults mm-hmm. and they don't know how to interact. So, I mean, what's that like with families you've seen? Like, how has COVID affected their parenting?
I think it's brought a lot of people closer together. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like that brought us closer together. Yeah, we like COVID at our house. Things happen, right? And I think we all have to take every opportunity in our life to reevaluate mm-hmm. what we need and what we want to do. So I think parents went into survival mode and let, you know, screen time for everyone. Like, okay, today's a new day. I mean, we obviously there's viruses going on still, but I think it doesn't mean that we can't reset. So I think it means everyone's so different. I don't think we can even compare what that looks like. The thing about screen time for me is the gentle parenting is you wake up naked and afraid, that there's no assumption that you've got anything when you wake up that's earned. And I think that's something that people don't always understand about gentle parenting is that you don't have anything. It's all mine. I let you use it. And so you have to do these things to be able to have screen time. You have to be able to do these things in order to have all of these things. And I think those things build resilience. Those things bring hard work. Those things bring, ethic and all of that stuff. So I think there's a way to keep doing what people have been doing and what works for them.
I think the biggest takeaway is the term gentle parenting is a relative term because they're saying it's gentle in context to spanking your child, but it's so much more work. And the hope for the outcome is that an emotionally stable and intelligent adult will come out on the other end who's ready to enter the world as a self-sustaining, normal human being, right? What none of us had the chance to be.
Right.
I'm working on it.
I want to address that really quick because like I said earlier, this type of parenting for me is the long game. So I will put in weeks and months on something that my son is doing, and then he will do what I want him to do. And it feels like a huge victory, and it is the smallest thing. But I am raising a white presenting male, and I want him to be in touch with his emotions and be able to handle his emotions and, you know, deal with all the things that come with that, because I don't want to raise a school shooter. Like, I don't. Right. And I know that's kind of a morbid thing to say.
No, but you want to raise somebody who doesn't come with all this trauma.
Empathy. And someone who can deal with his feelings and not, like, shove them all in and find incels on the internet and all of that.
And I think it's important for you to know that you can have a child who's emotionally intelligent and be an athlete and, not and be resilient and like competition and all of those things. And I think a lot of times society thinks, oh, well, if you, you know, are this way, then, oh, you can't be this way or that way. Like, I think we have to, there's a lot of misinformation.
There's a lot of misinformation, and more than anything, there's a lot of incorrect association with the terms and the actual styles. Because even in this, I mean, we did some research and I've seen people who call it gentle parenting. I talked to my mom, Oprah, she told me all about it. And what I've learned is most of it is fake news. It's people.
And she doesn't have a kid either.
Listen, I like Oprah and she does good. I just, when we look at research, it's not Oprah or Dr. Phil, it's evidence.
I was pulling a quote. Okay. Jesus Christ.
Now we're bringing him into
somebody
it, huh?
Wasn't spanked enough as a kid. So listen, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. Thank you for my panel for showing up today. And thank you for tuning in. Make sure to go to thegoingtherepodcast.com. Check out links to our socials, our YouTube. You can find us on YouTube now at the handle at the Going There Podcast. And thank you. Tune in again next time where Dr. Y is going to show up and tell me why I suck at being a podcaster. Thanks.
Easy to do. Just kidding.
While you're at it, give us a rating, share with a friend, and subscribe.
You ought to know when you arrived in a flash of light.
Our boomer parents taught us that we'd get the hand if we made too much noise, so don't make us say it again. Check out Hand Plus Noise for their current and upcoming albums and tracks at handplusnoise.com and at Hand Plus Noise on Facebook and Instagram.
This podcast is made possible by its hosts and Frame One Media in association with Joe Calley and Bobby Thomas.